A paradox roiling the global markets today is China's devaluation, ultimately a bid to make its currency stronger. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Overnight, the Chinese currency, which had been plunging for a second day, seemed to break its fall. Published reports suggest the Chinese authorities had intervened to partially reverse Monday's abrupt devaluation. All this volatility unsettled markets, and there's been a flight to the perceived safety of bonds. In early trading, the 10-year Treasury yield was down sharply at under 2.12%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the first half hour of trading was down another 200 points, about 1.1%. A devaluation makes Chinese goods cheaper to sell overseas and would be a stimulus for China's stuttering economy. But maybe that's not the only point here. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
The things we were worried about earlier in the summer, those problems actually seem to have stabilized. But now we're worried about the Chinese currency itself coming down overnight. And we've seen a lot of volatility in markets, but I think markets may be overdoing it in their reaction. We don't really export that much to China. I don't think that will have a very big impact, and I don't think this constitutes a big plunge in the Chinese currency.
Because you're pointing out, among other things, that Chinese goods, which are imported en masse from China, are getting a little cheaper.
But more than that, China's playing quite a careful game here. Its economy is slowing down, but what it's really trying to do is make its currency a little bit more convertible, a little bit more tradable in the world. And I think most of all, the Chinese love stability, so I don't expect them to add to instability in the global economy for very long here.
So you actually buy this argument coming out of China that this is about letting the Chinese exchange rate trade at more market rates as opposed to with a little less control.
That's right, because what people have failed to recognize is the Chinese currency has essentially been locked to the U.S. dollar as the U.S. dollar soared higher. They are, to some extent, overvalued right now, and I think they're trying to allow the currency to trade a little bit more flexibly. But also, I think if the Chinese currency comes down a little bit, that probably is a move in the correct direction in terms of world trading rather than the wrong direction.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you for this.
Anytime.
Moving on, there's maybe more to life than the iPhone. Samsung is expected to unveil some of its new mobile gadgets tomorrow, including the Galaxy Note 5 and S6 Edge Plus phones. And the suggestion is that screens are getting bigger to the point that it'll look like you have a shop window plastered to your ear. I exaggerate, but Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
One hint came from Samsung itself in a recent blog post called 7 Reasons Why Bigger is Better. So just how big?
There's only so much bigger I feel like you can get at this point.
Ryan Reith is an analyst with market research firm IDC. He says as people do more with their phones, write email, watch videos, take pictures, they want them to be closer to tablet computers, but not too close.
We're getting about as big as I think we can get on the device people are going to use and carry around all the time for communication.
That's tech analyst Rob Enderle.
The next step is to move that display someplace else where it doesn't have to be as big.
Like directly in front of the eye, he says. Think Google Glass. Until then, he says, expect to see more phone screens moving closer to 7 inches, measured diagonally. That's twice the size of the original iPhone. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Avalara, tax automation for businesses of all sizes. Avalara's cloud-based technology is designed to simplify business tax by performing real-time tax calculations and enabling automatic return filing. Learn more at avalara.com. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, personalized meeting rooms to help put your best face forward. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos available on Zillow.com or on their mobile apps. Zillow, find your way home.
Now to the famous scientist and inventor who wants to take the pursuit of wellness to a new level. You know, wellness, healthy lifestyle, better diet. You could call it the art of not getting sick. Biologist Lee Hood is a pioneer in the study of the human genome who led teams that invented 5 of the machines that make modern genetics possible. He's now chair of the scientific advisory board of a company he helped found called Aravail that just raised $36 million in venture capital to assess and promote wellness at the genetic and molecular levels. I reached Dr. Hood in Seattle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you are a proponent of scientific wellness. What's the distinction?
Scientific wellness does a 360-degree survey of the individual with lots of data to assess just exactly what their state is. And we scientifically identify actionable possibilities that allow you to optimize wellness and minimize or avoid disease.
So how would it work with this company, Aravel? The idea would, what? We'd pay a flat fee. You'd take a look at our genetic makeup. But what, every once in a while, we'd send in some tests?
We determine your complete genome sequence, and every 3 months, we take blood, urine, and analyze your gut microbiome. And that, together with data that comes from the Fitbit about activity and sleep, is all integrated into a big pot for each individual. And from that, we have a physician that actually writes the prescriptions and is involved in providing advice for the individual that'll let them be the best they can be.
How does this fit in with traditional medicine? Is it either or? Should a traditional doctor be threatened by this process?
I think a traditional doctor should embrace this process. I've often said that I think in a 10 to 15-year period, the scientific wellness industry will far exceed in market cap that of the current disease industry or the healthcare industry. And I think physicians have a major investment in both aspects, wellness and disease.
Lee Hood is co-founder and chair of the Scientific Advisory Board at Aravail. He's also president and co-founder of the Institute for Systems Biology in Seattle. Dr. Hood, thank you.
My pleasure.
Dr. Hood mentioned the microbiome, the bacteria that live in a particular part of the body, such as the gut. Venture capital money has been flying that way. For instance, a VC firm opened a $110 million microbiome investment fund in France earlier this year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.